Welcome back to Equal Time on WDEV. I'm Carl Etnayer, and today's show features a few highlights of the 15th annual Solar Fest, which took place this last Friday through Sunday in Tynmouth, down in Rutland County. Coming up, we'll speak with Vermont author Jim Merkel, who we last heard from on Equal Time when he led a bicycle group called Cycling for a Sustainable Future through Vermont in early April. He also helped introduce our special April Fool's Day segment on Lorac, the Wonder Plant. Jim Merkel bicycled the Solar Fest. He gave three presentations there, including a discussion of his book, Radical Simplicity. This month marks the 20th year of Jim Merkel's ongoing experiment in radical simplicity, living on $5,000 a year. He's on the show to tell us what it's been like. Jim, welcome back to Equal Time.
Hey, Carl, great to be here.
You bicycled back from Solar Fest okay?
Yeah, it was a beautiful day yesterday. We had a tailwind.
Oh, very nice.
Believe that tailwind, and the sky was just amazing, clouds rolling, and it looked like thunderstorms were going to come, but they didn't, and then the sunset was over the top. We could see the Adirondacks from Vermont's flat on the other side of the greens, the west side of the greens. We were just, oh man, watching the Adirondacks and all the sunset, and it was just beautiful.
And did you bike from Solar Fest in Tynmouth and Rutland County all the way to your home in Norwich?
Not actually. We kind of parked the car halfway, and so we cycled from Brandon down. It was about a 25-mile ride. I had a book reading Thursday night, and so one of my things I always try to do is if I'm going out of the house in the car, put as many things on the agenda as possible. So kind of put this thing together with a book reading, and then down to Solar Fest by bike and back up to Brandon. And yeah, now we're visiting some friends in the South Lincoln area who run a foundation called the Meta Earth Institute.
Very nice. Yeah. Well, in the late 1980s, you were living a globetrotting lifestyle, I think it's fair to say. Would you tell us about that, and what led you to leave that behind and live on $5,000 a year?
Well, I was an arms dealer for the U.S. military, and had a top-secret clearance, and was at first a senior engineer designing top-secret cryptographic computer systems. It was a BlackBerry, one of the projects I designed in the 80s, like around 86, 87. And I was marketing to foreign militaries. And when I started waking up slowly. I was a young Republican kid, but in the late 80s, I started getting a little bit of a clue of what we were doing as I found out that U.S. was the largest arms dealer on the earth, bar none. We spent the most on weapons of mass destruction, bar none, and that our total military budget exceeded the world's military budget, just the U.S. So this, I didn't really have a full grasp of this, and as it started to slowly happen and hit me, basically I had my peak oil experience in 1989 when I watched in Stockholm, Sweden, from a five-star hotel that I had flown first class on a plane to get to do business with the Swedish military. I saw the Valdez oil spill come on, and I started to cry sitting there at the bar and just watching the disaster. And I realized that I was as guilty as the captain of the boat was drinking. I said I was drunk on oil. And as you know, so I really felt, after that weekend, after that business trip, I had to come home and change my life, and I wasn't sure what to do. And I was living a pretty much mainstream life in California at the time, and the first thing I did was park the car. And I started using my bike for going to commute to work every day and to do all chores and errands and things like that. And after doing that for a few months, I just had to even go further. So then I decided I'm going to try to even quit my job, and I didn't know how to do that. And I finally locked myself into my house with my engineering economics textbooks. And instead of asking how much can I get, I asked, what do I need? And I realized I could live the rest of my life on $5,000 a year. After that weekend, I ran the numbers. I said, well, if I take my car off the road, rent three of the four bedrooms in my house, plant a vegetable garden, buy my stuff from the thrift stores, I figured I could live on $5,000 a year. And that was 20 years ago.
And how old were you at the time?
I was 30 years old.
Hmm. Now, 20 years ago, $5,000 went a fair amount further. I haven't checked the Consumer Price Index since then, but do you know offhand what $5,000 in 1989 would be worth today?
Yeah, I don't keep in touch with the Consumer Price Index, and what was funny was when I first quit, 3 years after I quit, I met Joe Dominguez, who was the co-author of Your Money or Your Life, which was actually 32 weeks on Business Week's bestseller list, number one bestseller, still just reprinted again and selling like hotcakes again. But anyway, I met the author after I was 4 years into my experiment, and I actually did what the book recommends, was to live off your interest instead of living off your capital. So, but I asked Joe Dominguez, because he quit and wanted to live on $5,000 a year in 1970, and it was 1993, and he was still living on $5,000 a year. And I said, Joe, how'd you get from 1970 to 1993? And he says, well, look, consciousness grows faster than inflation, he said. And of course, I had a good laugh, and I thought it was a good one-liner. But then when I get into 2009 and I can still live in about that much money, I realize if you're not spending like a consumer, the price index might not affect you, because some things are fairly stable over time. Like if you clip clippings from newspapers, like for food coupons, food might be stable. A lot of the necessities of life don't often go up, but say real estate might, you know, cost of a car might, but if you don't have a car, then it's not. Or if you're an old used car, or if you're not buying a new refrigerator when Americans buy them, and if you're not having a cell phone and an iPod and on and on and on, consumer price index doesn't really affect you. So I find that since 89, I'm not answering your question too well, but I'm just saying that I just ignore it and seem to most get by.
That's an answer to the question. So tell us what's included in $5,000 a year. Are you paying rent out of that? Do you own your place?
Well, I do own my house, and basically what happened was when I left California, I went to the mountains of British Columbia to try to live way up in the mountains in the wilderness, and I did that for 7 years. But I basically sold the house, but instead of the person who bought it, I played banker for them. So they gave me a deposit, a down payment, and then I played banker at like a 7% interest rate. So I had an income stream from them, and I had enough capital to basically buy my house outright, because I downsized significantly and bought a small cabin up in the mountains of British Columbia that I then owned free and clear. So then when I did it in San Luis Obispo, I'd lived on $5,000 a year by renting out three of the four bedrooms in the house that I owned, but I just got my own personal, like I lived in one bedroom, basically, of a house and shared the kitchen and the living room.
And the rent from the other three was the income that you lived on?
Well, I still chipped in to it, but my share of it was like as if I was in the town. It was a college town.
Yeah.
It was as if I went out and rented a one-bedroom apartment.
Okay.
You know, I mean, a bedroom in a house. Mm-hmm. That kind of rental, that's what I was paying myself, more or less. But I had to pay the taxes, the insurance, the repairs, which I did myself, and so I had expenses, but the rents were kind of mostly, you know, not covering everything, and I'm totally freeloading, but they were, you know, I was still kind of kicking in an equal of a quarter, say, to the expenses of running the house. But I was able to do that within the $5,000 a year budget, and then I had no car on the road for 14 years. I do have one on the road now, which is a 92 Honda Civic rated at 55 mpg, which is getting around 45. But, you know, I've got to bring it to the mechanic once in a while, get used tires once in a while. I do a lot of mechanics myself, change the oil myself, and, you know, muffler work, simple things.
I've been told by public transit people here in this state that the AAA has calculated the cost of merely owning a car are, on average, around $6,000 or $7,000 a year. If you're living on under $5,000 a year and have your own car, then I guess that's not, well, that's an average. And if you have an old car and do a lot of the mechanic work yourself, you can keep your cost way down.
Yeah, and then you don't have collision on a 1992 car, so your insurance is really cheap. Like, my insurance is, I think, $200 a year for the car. You know, so that's, you know, and I just try to keep it parked as much as possible. And then, you know, I have things like health care, which I don't buy any insurance. I'm a refusenik on insurance. I don't like the concept. So I will only take it out if I'm forced to by law, like car insurance. But I don't have health or medical insurance.
Hmm.
I want care, not insurance. I don't want to support some corporation who has this huge high-rise building who's taking money and then making money and then doling out health care. And you've got to come to their beg on your hands and knees sometimes if you're hurt, if they'll cover you or not. So I've taken my lumps for the last 20 years, and I was insured during my 2 years at Dartmouth College. But other than that, I've been paying my way. You know, I just had $800 of dental work a week ago. But I had years with no dental work. So, you know, it averages out to maybe I spend $200 a year on dentistry.
Hmm.
Over the last 20 years, you know. Or
$200 a year on dentistry, and do you see medical doctors?
I never see them unless I feel like I'm going to die.
Mm.
You know, I've got a really, really... And once I did made a big mistake, I felt so awful. I went in after like 6 days of suffering. You know, I just felt terrible. But I had just had a virus that, you know, would have gone... was probably getting better as I went into the... And I went into emergency room, which was dumb, because there's a health clinic there that would have charged me $20. But
mm.
like, or bucks to go into the emergency room. But once you learn these things, you made a big... I made a mistake, you know... several hundred dollar mistake, that there is a clinic like in White River Junction near where I live that if you're making under so much money, you're free to go in there.
Well, experience, you know, is what you get when you're looking for something else, as they say. Tell us about your food choices, Jim Merkel. Jim Merkel is the author of Radical Simplicity. We're talking to him about living on $5,000 a year, which he's been doing for 20 years. Our phone numbers here are 244-1777 or toll free 877-291-8255. What do you eat on this $5,000 a year?
Well, I'm a weed eater. No, just kidding. But I do eat a lot of weeds. I eat a lot of dandelions and stinging nettles and lamb's quarters and things like that. But I do grow a full garden, you know, with carrots and beets and potatoes and tomatoes and, you know, kohlrabis and just lots of rutabagas and squashes and pumpkins and peas and beans, and like I have food coming out of my ears typically. Usually there's too much to eat. It's my biggest problem is how you're going to eat it all and give it away to your friends. And then I do buy grain from co-ops. I do frequent, say, the Upper Valley Co-op, and, you know, I'll buy cooking oil and coffee. I'm addicted to coffee and occasional local cream, half and half, and local eggs from somebody I know who I can see their chickens. And
what do you do in February?
February, I have a root cellar that's packed full of food, and I have squashes all over my shelves, and I have lots of dried herbs that I dry, like dry tons of nettles and dandelion greens. So I sprinkle those dried greens into my omelet and make this huge veggie omelet like every day of the winter, just about. And I sprout seeds, so I have like six different sprouts, like mung beans and whole peas and lentils and sunflower seeds and alfalfas and fenugreeks. And so I'll sprout those, and then I'll take a nice green and red cabbage out of the root cellar and shred that, and then take some carrots and beets. And so I have a live salad every day of the year, basically, without purchasing anything from the... I don't purchase any vegetable all winter long from the supermarket, really. Occasionally, if I don't grow enough, I'll go in and get a, you know, I'll try to find a farmer and get, say, 20 or 30 pounds of onions or garlic or whatever I didn't get enough of, grow enough of. But I try not to go to the co-op in the winter because it's very expensive.
After 20 years of living on $5,000 a year, would you recommend this to other people?
Oh, I think it's great. And, you know, I don't really, I haven't been able to hold fast to the $5,000 every year. And say my 2 years at Dartmouth, I probably doubled. And I'm still working my way down because I'm living in a more expensive town. And I did that. I chose my house because I had this JOB for Dartmouth that I had accepted. But it's in a very expensive town. So now I'm getting ready to sell it, that house, and move out of that town to be in a town where things are less expensive. It's kind of hard to stick to $5,000 in a very expensive area.
Hmm.
You know, and then also, you know, certain things happen in life, and then, so my expenses will rise up a bit. I just want to make that clear to listeners that, you know, at times I had a big major house repair on my house that I had to do.
Right.
I was getting sick from the mold, and I did a huge repair, and then I invested in. I could capitalize that, but I probably put $15,000 to $20,000 into fixing the house.
Very good. Well, Jim Merkel, we're about out of time. I want to thank you very much for sharing your 20-year experiment living on $5,000 a year or so.
Well, it's been fun.
Okay. Thanks. Jim Merkel is the
author.
You too, Jim. Jim Merkel is the author of Radical Simplicity, and that wraps it up for our Equal Time show about Solar Fest. A couple of the presenters plus Amy Goodman, people getting together to find ways to a solar future. About 2,500 people a day. Keep it in mind for your summer plans next year. It'll be in mid-July again. I'm Carl Etnayer. I'll be back next Monday at 1 o'clock. Equal Time continues tomorrow with Travin. Anthony Polina is in on Wednesday and Thursday, and on Friday it's Tom Hartman. Don't forget to check EqualTimeRadio.com for podcasts of the shows that Travin and I host. Artie Levine produced the show. Thanks for tuning in.